And I'm going to share from a verse in First Chronicles this morning. So if you have a Bible, you can turn with me or just listen carefully. First Chronicles chapter 4. And we're going to speak about the prayer of Jabez. And this is just two verses mentioned where this man is mentioned. We know little about him really, except for what is recorded in these two verses, but how instructive they are. And let's just read the verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. For many years, my family and I lived in Budapest. 18 years I lived there, and my wife and I, Marina, we had our three children there in Budapest when we were on the mission field. And they were rich, wonderful years filled with ministry and joy and seeing God's hand and God's work. Towards the end of those years, there was some prayers that were on the altar, some conflict of heart, coming to terms with certain things about doctrine, and there was some issues in life, as we all have, and therefore we were praying about what God might have for us in his plan. So in the summer of 2016, we drove from Hungary to England with the family, and we drove through the Yorkshire Dales and Cumbria, and just were enjoying that part of the world. And during that trip, we were up on Box Hill in the Surrey Hills, and we were up on Box Hill, and my children were over here, my wife, and I had a moment of quiet with the Lord. Said, "Oh Lord, what do you have for us?" And it came so clearly to my heart that we would come back to England with the family. And I shared it with Marina, and by the end of that time, we were convinced that that was God's will for us, that we would be moving back to England. And I remember after that, we went up to Yorkshire, and we were standing on one of the high rocks in Brimham Rocks. It's a beautiful place with woods and forests and these huge rocks. And we were standing on this rock at this viewpoint. We prayed together as a family that God would lead us, that God would open doors for us. The following year, in March 2017, and of course by this time we sent out a couple of applications to churches. I was hoping and praying that I would be able to continue ministering, pastoring in a church. So in March 2017, we already had our tickets to move back in June. So we only had a few months left, and we'd sent our applications. We hadn't really heard anything back. There was a possibility of at one church up north, but we didn't really have peace about that. So I said to Marina, you know what, I'm going to just fly to England. I'm going to rent a car. I'm going to drive through Sussex and Kent and pray, and at least see where will we land as a family, because we were moving back just a couple of months later. So on that trip, I called Jeff Connington, who's one of the elders of this church, and I said, listen, I know you have my application, and I know you have a process, but I'm going to be in England this weekend. If you want, we could meet for a coffee. I remember driving into Peacehaven, first time in my life that I remember ever coming to Peacehaven, drove along the South Coast Road. I was a bit early. I pulled up by the cliff top, by the monument, and I I had a prayer, oh Lord, please open doors, answer us. And then I walked along here to the church. I met with Jeff. We were here for 3 hours. We drank tea, we prayed, we talked, we shared with each other. I didn't know up until that point that I wasn't really considered as a candidate because we were coming from Budapest and maybe that was complicated. So when we met with Jeff together and our hearts connected, and then we became a real possibility to come. So in April 2017, 1 month later, Marina and I visited England together. And we came and we visited the church and we met people. We stayed for tea and coffee afterwards. I didn't speak or anything. We just simply visited the church. And in May of 2017, I came back. I was invited back. I met with the leaders. And I also preached on that Sunday. And it was then that we were told that that I definitely had was offered the position to be pastor of the church. That was in May, bearing in mind in June we had our tickets to move back. So it was cutting it close, as God often he does that. But it was in that April, month of April, that I wrote in my Bible. I share all that to say this. April 5th, 2017, this is our verse and our prayer. Number one, bless me. Number two, enlarge my coast. Number three, that your hand would be with me. Number four, keep me from evil. And so I wrote that in my Bible, just believing God for that prayer for our family, moving after so many years overseas, doing missions work and church planting and working in a school there and having an amazing life. But then uprooting and coming brand new, not knowing anyone, and believing God for his leading and his blessing. And he was faithful to us. So I just share that personal story as a context for me for these verses. So let's look at it. Verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother named him Jabez because I bore him with pain. Now, this means in childbirth there was perhaps complications or pain or sorrow to a high degree. His mother called him Jabez. It means sorrow or the one who causes sorrow. It's an unfortunate name as you're growing up. Boy, thanks so much for that name I have. Hi, what's your name? My name is Sorrow, or the one who causes sorrow. Pleased to meet you. But it says that he was most honorable in his family. This tells us something, that even though he had been given a name, he chose to not accept that name. It says that he was an honorable man, that he looked to God. His name was given to him through circumstances that were beyond his control. That he had a name, a label, a background that was beyond his control. And we all have things in our life that are beyond our control. Our childhood, our family, relationships, poverty, health. Perhaps we were abused physically or spiritually or emotionally in our past. And these are things that could greatly affect us from years and years before. We could say it's like the name Jabez, a name that's associated with pain, things that happened before that I had no control over. But nevertheless, it says that Jabez was honorable. In fact, it says, notice, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, we don't know why, but there was something about him that set him apart over his brothers. We could imagine that he was a faithful man, a man of integrity, a man of faith, a man who sought God, certainly a man of prayer, because we see him noted for his prayer here. And let's look at the prayer, verse 10. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel. And let's just pause there. He called on the God of Israel. You may have certain circumstances, certain troubles, certain history, things beyond your control, a certain name that you bear, something that you live in the shadow of. But Jabez called on the God of Israel, the true God, the living God, the God who hears prayers, and the God, more importantly, who answers prayers, who is moved by our prayers. It's a beautiful thing that we don't have to live in the shadow of our past, according to the name beyond our circumstances. We don't have to live as a victim of things that happened to us in our past, but calling on the name of the Lord, calling on the name of God, referring to him in his covenant name, for God is a faithful God, a God who promises, who answers, who keeps, who blesses. And look at the prayer. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "All that you would bless me indeed." Now, I don't know about you, but I asked God to bless me. It's a common phrase in my prayers, because I believe that God wants to bless us. Some people might say, "Oh, you can't ask for blessings for yourself." I say, yes, we can, and we should. I think it brings joy and a pleasure to the heart of God to bless his people, to hear his people believe him for a blessing on their life. It could be a blessing that comes in the realm of physical things, but we know that those external blessings, though they may certainly be an answer to prayer or maybe something that's added to our lives, and we pray for that and we thank God for that, but we essentially know that the external is not enough, that the most important blessing is the spiritual blessing that comes, that you and I are people that are blessed in the sense that we have joy and peace and love and fortitude through truth and a sense of God's presence with us, that we are filled with God, that God is in our life. And then the externals, they are incidental. That's the most important thing, that I am a blessed man from the inside out, because I know that God is with me, he is for me, he loves me. And I may have the name Jabez, sorrow and pain, but essentially I have a new name, blessed, because God is with me. So he asked God to bless him, and notice it goes on to say, "And enlarge my border." Now, this may be in reference to his inheritance, his portion in the land. As the chronicler is writing, listing these names, he gets to Judah. He has to stop at Jabez and record this prayer. And this is the context. These are the generations of the people of God who are going back to the promised land. "Oh Lord, enlarge my coast, enlarge my border." Maybe he had a small inheritance. He wanted to believe God for something more. But for us, in terms of our Christian life and the blessings and the promises of God, the promised land of old, the physical promised land and the borders of old for Israel, speak of the promises in the Christian life, that by his great and precious promises we become partakers of his divine nature. So we could say, "Oh, enlarge my border." In other words, my experience of the promises, that in my experience, and what did them, when they inherited or possessed the promised land, they gained victory over their enemies. "And oh Lord, enlarge my coast," give me an inheritance, give me victory over my enemies, those that are within and those that are without. "Oh Lord, enlarge my border." It might seem as though the way is narrow. I remember when we were looking to England, how narrow it seemed in one sense. We didn't know where we would live, where we would work, where the kids would go to school. We didn't know where the finances would come from. There seemed to be no clear way forwards. Oh, but we prayed. And this was our verse and our prayer. "Oh Lord, bless me, enlarge my coast. Your hand would be with me." And God is faithful. It doesn't mean that as you walk through that time, you are challenged. It doesn't mean that you have to cast your burdens to the Lord again and again. It's not the most desirable situation when you don't know the way forward, where the way is narrow. But we can ask the Lord to enlarge our borders. And then he says that your hand would be with me. Don't you love that? That your hand might be with me. And we read of this, the hand of God upon us in the book of Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah, in the Chronicles. Certain men, certain circumstances, it was recorded that the hand of God was with them. When Ezra wrote that, what did he mean? He meant that there was a very strong, evident sense of God's guidance, of God's protection, of God's leading, of God's strength. How empowering that is to know that the hand of God is with you. There is so much you can do, so much you can achieve when you sense that and believe that and know that. This is way beyond us. We cannot do this. The enemy is too great for us all. But if the hand of God is with us, we can go forwards. And then he says, and keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. In other words, remember, he was the one who caused sorrow. His name was associated with pain. And here he says, keep me from evil, that it may not pain me. That's amazing. Keep me from evil, the evil of sin, the harm of sin, the harm of people, the harm of my enemy or this world system or the troubles that we may be in our personal life or in the world around us right now. Oh Lord, keep me in the midst of that, that you would be a very present help in trouble, that you would strengthen me and deliver me and keep me from evil. So we know very little about Jabez except this. He was an honorable man. In fact, he was more honorable than his brothers in his family. He had a name that was associated with something in his past that was beyond his control, yet he believed God for more. He asked God for more. Bless me, enlarge my coast, your hand would be with me, keep me from evil. And I believe that that's how we should think and act and pray and believe as Christians. That we do not accept that, but we believe for God for something more. And we'll finish with these words, the last phrase of verse 10. And God granted him what he requested. God answered him. God heard his prayer. I believe we could say God delighted in his prayer. God found pleasure in his faith and his request, and God answered him. God gave him, granted him what he requested. And again, we don't know exactly what that meant for Jabez, but we know from our blessed experience that God hears our prayers, that God answers our prayers, that we don't need to be victims, but we can be victors through his great grace. And I've got written here in the margin of my Bible from 2017, after we moved here, oh how richly God answered our prayer with open doors in Peace Haven. So let's pray. So Father, we do pray this morning. Oh, there's just such thankfulness in our hearts, for our lives are not perfect, but they are blessed. The way is not without challenge, but you are with us. We do not have all the answers, but we know you and we trust you. Our enemy is too great for us, but you are with us. And we fail. Our hearts are prone to wander, but you keep us. You protect us, you lead us, you convict us, you bring us back once again to the place of faith and blessing. Oh, bless us, bless me, bless us by your grace today. We ask and we pray, we believe you. We believe you for our families, for our little ones, for our husbands, our wives, our families, our extended loved family, our loved ones who are perhaps not believers. Oh, we ask you for them, bless them. Enlarge our borders, do great things, do wonders. We pray for our local church family here, that your blessing would be upon us. Even though we are not able to gather as we would like to, we believe you for your blessing, for your increase, for your hand, for your answer. We know that around the world there are many believers who are persecuted, who also cannot gather because of persecution. All but they walk with you, they trust you, and your blessing is upon them. We thank you, God, for your great grace. Use these words to encourage us, lead us forwards. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.